Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
Hello, darling. You've got that down pat. The whole certified Japanophile. Do you kind of wake up in the morning like chanting it? Because I have a real problem with my memory and I can never remember like whole sentences. Whenever I got to like present a camera, I find it very hard to get information in and get it out again. But you just seem to effortlessly remember that phrase every time.
Effortless. Well, I've done it like 100 times now. Yeah. I'm not even sure how many times I've done it.
That's wild, isn't it?
100 at least. So yeah. If I couldn't do it, after 100 times, then I think it'd be time to retire and hang up my podcast hat. But exactly. But I enjoy doing it. I actually, it's funny you should bring that up. Just earlier on today, I was thinking, shall I mix it up? Shall I change it going forward into 2020? Shall I change the intro to the podcast?
Don't you but dare.
I don't know.
Don't it you dare, you pig.
I don't think I should do that. Yeah, I think I'll keep it. People love it.
Yeah,
probably.
Right.
Don't know.
Down straight.
Anyway, how have you been?
Good. I mean, first things first, I really have to apologise for a rather heinous technical error last week. A couple of you early adopters, the sort of people who download the podcast, or indeed their phones download the podcast earlier than everyone else, you may have got a little Easter egg, a little extra 30-second passage of me and Chris battling with a dodgy internet connection, trying to reconnect the podcast last week. So I thought we'd started a new file when I sent it over to producer Katie, but we hadn't. So there we go.
Basically, we recorded the opening minute of the podcast, then the internet somewhere died, and if you listen to the podcast, it's just me going Pete, right, Pete, and that's literally the opening to the podcast that was left in.
Yeah.
So you got little Easter egg bonus. It is basically a collector's edition, if you got it, because I don't think many people actually heard it, so well done if you did hear it.
It was more you just going, fucking internet, fuck.
Just swearing in silence.
Yeah, never mind.
Oh, swearing.
Sorry about
quietly
that, Chris,
in my room.
I exposed your anger at the internet.
You know what, though? We do this podcast, opposing ends of the world, and somehow we've been able to pull it off in a way that I don't know many other people that can pull off a podcast like that. Doing it like this, so I think we've had a good run until now, and we've had remarkably few technical errors over the last year or two of doing this, so we can let it go once or twice a year.
It's even more remarkably remarkable that I'm the one who is putting together the edit most times, so yeah, amazing.
It is remarkably remarkable.
And also, I think the situation is that, like, obviously YouTube is obviously your major your main kind of interface with the universe. And obviously, you're very familiar with YouTube, and it's the idiosyncrasies of YouTube are the algorithms and stuff like that. But there's never a problem with actually uploading footage. There's never a problem kind of uploading and getting that stuff out. Podcasts, it's a little bit more like black magic. You know, RSS feeds and what iTunes chooses to promote is so much more opaque, more oblique. So Chris, having to sort of deal with this slightly antiquated kind of Windows 95 genre. I respect his patience every time we have to deal with something technical.
Windows 95 genre.
It is, yeah. It's like Windows 95, dealing with podcasts. Releasing podcasts is frequently like Windows 95.
And I'm glad that I don't have to do anything to do with it other than present it and promote it. Exactly. It's nice to let you take care of it. Beautiful. I did put out a video the other day, though. I've been trying to... I don't know if you know I've got a second channel.
Yeah.
Do you know I've got a second secret channel?
Stories.
No, it's even more secret.
What?
How do you know that? That's a top secret channel.
Is that a top secret channel?
That's like a real secret channel.
Oh, no. Yeah. How did I find
Exposed.
That?
Exposed.
I'm such an aficionado.
Born Japan Stories.
I'm such an aficionado, yeah. Chris.
That was... But I've got a less secret channel than that.
Ooh.
Do you know what it's... Do you know it?
I don't know what it's called.
Oh, shit. It's called Abroad Perspective.
Oh.
It's clever, that. Another pun. Chris Broad, Abroad. Lots of puns. Basically, because Abroad in Japan is such this massive monster now, I've created an empire. Abroad in Japan, it has to be about Japan, really. Like, I can't do anything else. So I wanted to make a channel where I could just do whatever I wanted without the pressure of the algorithm, which you mentioned a minute ago, and just make whatever I want without worrying about view counts and things like that. So I've got Abroad Perspective, and I've just been uploading random videos to it, like me sitting alone in a traditional Japanese hotel room, just whinging about making a futon. It's got about 80,000 subscribers, and I started it years ago, but I've never done anything with it. And recently I decided to relaunch it, just because the videos I make take like 4 or 5 days to produce, right, Abroad in Japan. And often I feel like I've lost that sense of spontaneity that I used to love and enjoy so much. And so on this channel, I can make a video of me sitting in a room alone complaining in a traditional Japanese hotel room. Or today I made a video about my bookshelf, what's on my weird bookshelf, a mixture of items that include a Vladimir Putin calendar and a book about girls' rooms in Japan. So go and check that out, ladies and gentlemen. Abroad Perspective.
Putin is shooting a gun on the front of the calendar, which I'm enjoying immensely. Yeah, you get very... You feel like your main channel has to be like this, these videos that are like these gargantuan kind of production numbers, and anything less... You feel like it shouldn't be on your main channel. I disagree with that, Chris, but we've been through this before.
It's more a case of like consistency, isn't it? If you click on a Abroad in Japan video, you know it's going to have decent production quality. Mm. Obviously, it's going to be about Japan. So I always just wanted to make a Abroad in Japan the number one kind of resource for people that want to learn about life in Japan or travelling Japan.
Yeah.
And so if I want to deviate from that formula, I feel like it's best to actually just start out on another channel and experiment a little bit, and some of the ideas that I have there I can take forward onto Abroad in Japan. But I don't see it as being like a channel that's less good, you know, it's just different topics. So if I go to London or Taiwan or anywhere on a holiday, I can film it, because right now if I go to London, I can't really put a video on the Abroad in Japan channel because it's not Japan. Wouldn't work, would it?
Well, I'm looking at the Abroad Perspective YouTube channel. Can you hear this? Can you hear my mouse? Oh, hang on.
I can't hear your mouse.
Hang on.
Is this you like verifying, proving
this
that you're
me, this is me subscribing,
on YouTube?
Look,
the sound of a clicking mouse.
Listen. There you go. Subscribed. Subscription
Perfect.
Added.
And get the bell notification. That's important.
Oh, is that what you?
That
oh, is
damn
that
bell.
What? Oh, if you click the bell, does that give you? Does that make sure that you get told? That's
basically
a new
get
video?
Notified. Yeah.
Ah, I see. My little.
So if you're,
my little Japan video's got 25,000 views now, so 2.93 subscribers.
I mean, that's it's not too bad, I suppose.
What a load of nonsense! What a load of nonsense! Well, congratulations for re-upping your classic video page that no one seems to know about.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this and wondering what the channel's called, again, Abroad Perspective, go and check it out. I'm going to be posting there weekly, random stuff. I don't know what's coming up next. Actually, I do know what's coming up next. I found a mini retro Pac-Man arcade game. It's really quite small.
All right.
And it costs like 4,000 yen. It's really quite cool. I haven't opened it yet. I don't want to open it until the video. And then the other day, I found a like really tiny Pac-Man arcade retro game that's like 1/10 the size of the mini Pac-Man retro thing. So I'm going to do a comparison between the two ridiculously small arcade arcade machines that look like they were designed for the Smurfs. And I think it's right up your street, sort of thing you'd like, Pete, with your retro games.
Yeah.
Your love of retro games.
I'm more of a... who's that fella? There was a rapper who released a load of really poor sort of Nintendo ripoff kind of emulator, like a little emulator sort of game, like Soldier Boy. He released like a load of like knockoff Soldier Chinese kind of PS Vita, Neo Geo kind of emulation little Game Boy sort of systems, and they weren't very good. They were just rebadged versions of like stuff you'd get on. I'm trying to think what the websites are like. What the websites like in China?
Well, I'm trying to think Chinese of one. The trying to think of that song Soldier Boy did. What was that? A really annoying song like 10, 15 years ago.
Soldier Boy. Yeah. It was
Superman.
I think it was just do the Soldier Boy, isn't it? Soldier Boy.
Probably. Rubbish.
Oh, yeah.
If his emulators are anything like that song, I don't think the standard of the quality is going to be overly good.
No, I wouldn't trust Soldier Boy to pick out a decent processor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Soldier Boy aside, and while we're on the subject of video games, actually, Nintendo. You like Nintendo, don't you, Pete?
I'm a recent convert. Yeah, I've never owned a Nintendo device before. I tell a lie. I'd bought a Game Boy from Harajuku, not Harajuku. Wherever the Akihabara. I bought one from Super Potato for like 10 quid or something. And that was my only Nintendo device about 3 years ago. And now I've got a Nintendo Switch and I'm very happy with it.
Good man. Every time I go in Super Potato, which if you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, is the best retro like game shop in Akihabara for my money.
People disagree.
Game Boys. Oh, no, don't give me your annoying nonsense about that shop you keep going on about. What was it called, the one you like?
I don't know, there's a few different ones, but Super Potato in Akihabara is kind of, it's obviously very well known, so people have just absolutely rinsed it of anything interesting. You just don't see, you know, you don't see as many SNES disc systems anymore, Famicom disc systems anymore, which is a bit upsetting. A lot of PC Engine
and
stuff.
And the prices are a little bit extortionate. Yeah. You say you bought a Game Boy for 10 quid. When I was in there, it was like 50, 60 pounds. Although it does vary greatly depending on the quality of it, because some of them are like stained yellow because they've been out for 30 years and they look horrible. And it's covered in cigarette ash. And then there's some really pristine ones that look like they came off the production line last Tuesday.
Yeah.
So like the price of it depends on the quality of it and how well it's been maintained. But yeah, I've always thought about going in there and getting one for like Christmas. Whenever I go back to the UK over Christmas, I feel like just grabbing five of them, flying over them, putting them in people's stockings. And then I realise that would be something I would do if I had lots of friends, but I don't. So
Christopher.
Oh,
never mind.
And I'm basically the Grinch, and I don't think I'd ever spend considerable sums of money on friends. But anyway, going back to Nintendo, they've opened the first ever dedicated shop in Japan. It's in Shibuya. Shibuya's had a lot of new buildings go up recently, and it seems to be buzzing at the moment. There's a whole new skyscraper where Google and YouTube is based, and it's this huge skyscraper lingering over Shibuya Station with some of the best views in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Check it out if you want to go and get a good view of Tokyo. But yeah, Nintendo's opened this shop. It's got lots of exclusive kind of products and merchandise. And as you'd expect, this is the thing that stood out to me the most on the story was just the sheer length of the queue. People went there. It opened at 10 a.m. in the morning. People queued up at 9 a.m. And even though they got there at 9 a.m, there was still already a 2-hour queue. So people have been turning up ridiculously early to go to this shop. I know, right?
It's just the thing that gets me is like the pictures of the people sort of queuing up. Like it's raining, it's cold. They don't seem to be anywhere near the skyscraper, and it looks like they've had to go up a lot of stairs to get into the actual shop itself. I mean, the thing with like these shops where people queue up outside, you sort of think, is there anything like new? Is there anything kind of that you can't get anywhere else? It just always seems to be the same sort of thing.
Well, I did read that a lot of the stuff in there is unique to Japan.
Right.
Like Mario merchandise and Legend of Zelda merchandise, Animal Crossing, Pokemon, Splatoon, whatever that is, Kirby's, lots of Kirby's everywhere, a staggering amount of Kirby's. Admittedly, it's not really up my street. I'm never really into buying merchandise about video games. I went into the Pokemon store recently. A friend came to visit and he insisted on going to the Pokemon store. We went all the way across Tokyo. We got in there. We were there like 5 minutes. He bought like a Mewtwo doll or something. a doll of Mewtwo, and then that was it. We left, and it was like, oh, was it really worth? Can we just got it off Amazon? But I don't know. I suspect it's more just the atmosphere. You know, it does look like quite a cool shop, and if you're a Nintendo fan, I think there's no way you can miss it. Really, will you be going there on your next trip to Japan?
Well, if there's not a queue, I mean, I'm very British, so I'll queue for certain things, but I won't queue for a Nintendo store. I'm not a big. I mean, probably people regard me as being a bit of a Weebo kind of video game obsessive, but I never wear.
You definitely are.
I never wear like new kind of Nintendo kind of shirts or anything like that. I'm very much a Spectrum era arcade machine kind of t-shirt wearer. slight difference.
Spectrum arcade.
Slight difference.
Yeah, well, I won't be going anytime soon because the queues are probably going to be there for a very long time. I tend to find when these places open, like, you just can't get in. You just have to accept that unless you're going to queue for 2 hours, you might as well just wait a year. Like, there was some sort of, when in Sendai, there was some sort of Hawaiian restaurant called Eggs and Things, specialising in egg-based foods and egg-based dishes.
Yeah.
Completely underwhelming. But the queue there was like an hour every time I walked past it down like the high street in Sendai.
Yeah.
I went in there, it was rubbish. Rubbish. It's like an omelette. Like a poorly made omelette.
It's a poorly made omelette.
Defamation against Eggs and Things. But like, you know, people queue for just so long here and I don't understand why. I don't queue for anything more, you know, if it's more than 2 minutes long, I'm not going.
No.
I'm not going in.
It's not happening.
Ever. But there you go. If you're into Nintendo, ladies and gentlemen, do check out Nintendo Tokyo, Shinjuku. Go and get your stuff. The second news article of the week revolves around young Japanese men.
Ooh.
Who say, I found a study. Young Japanese men say paying for dates is the hardest part of life as a guy.
Right.
Now, what's the hardest part of life as a guy for you, Mr. Donaldson?
I'm trying to think now. It must be getting up in the morning and my knees aching.
Hangovers?
No, it's not hangovers at all. My knees aching. That's the hardest thing of my life. My football knees ravaged aching. Knees. My knees hurting all the time.
Aww.
Bless them.
Poor Pete. Well, for Japanese men aged between 20 to 39, apparently the thing that made life hardest for them was being expected to pay for the majority of dates and also to be responsible for planning them. Weird thing to have at the top of your list. I would have thought just the working conditions of most Japanese people would like be far more prominent. What do you make of that?
Well, yeah, I think... But I think you've spoken about this before. People don't want to get into relationships because it's expensive to raise a family. But even getting through the door, it sounds like that's quite expensive as well. And I imagine internet dating has kind of meant that people are going out on more dates than ever before. So, yeah, it probably is getting quite pricey. Say if you go on 2 dates a week, that's you laying it on pretty thick. You know, you're not as a man or even as a woman. You don't want to be seen as a bit of a skinflint, so you want to be showing people a good time, and that, I imagine, is quite expensive, especially in Japan, where like food and booze is quite pricey at times.
Well, I'm not being funny, but who goes on 2 dates a week?
Well,
I don't do that well. Do you go on 2 dates a week?
No, like, but you have a situation where like people, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who probably go in a purple patch would probably go through 2 or 3 dates a week, just, you know, seeing what's going on. It's a not very English thing to sort of go on dates anyway, but I imagine on the American side of things, I mean, people find it quite, and not just like dates, but like coffee dates, lunch dates, all the dates, all the time. Dates are expensive. Fruit is expensive in Japan.
I think it's not just the fact that they were like there's a lot of stress around paying for it. The planning a date. Is it really that difficult to plan a date? Like, McDonald's doesn't take a great deal of planning.
To McDonald's.
Get the Big Mac, job done. Sorted.
You've got to be creative and you've got to be... it doesn't have to cost a lot, but you just go to a park and, you know, prepare a little picnic. Get some stuff from 7-Eleven. Lovely old job. But yeah, I imagine it is quite stressful if you're going on a few dates a week. But maybe these guys are just, you know, really pushing the boat out and going somewhere really expensive. But why that's the major stress for everyone, I don't know. It's a very, very love-focused society, Japan, isn't there?
I think that, there's a lot of stress. You know, when you meet someone in their 20s, top of their list is usually, like, trying to find someone to settle down with, because a lot of pressure, isn't there?
I forgot the exact phrase, that if you're 28, if you're a Japanese girl who's over 26 or something and you're still single, you're seen as rotten fruit, which is terrible.
Oh dear.
Like metaphor, terrible comparison. Mm. So there's a real sense of pressure. Mm. So I can see why people on both sides, men and women, are really kind of stressed out by it. But for people over 40s and 50s, their main concern is actually just the expectation to keep working full-time until retirement age as a seishin. Oh. Do you know what a seishin is?
No, I don't. Seishin.
Seishin. Mm. Best way to remember it. It's like sunshine, but not. Seishin. And basically, it's a regular company employee. You may be familiar with Japanese salarymen, how they have the kind of job for life, right? That status where you get a job at a company, you're there until you retire, basically. Your whole 40-year career is in one company, at one place. And as long as you don't rock the boat, you're secure. You get nice stability. You enjoy permanent employment status. You don't normally lose your job. Mm. But at the same time, you've got to really always be there on time. You can't have a good work-life balance. You don't get much free time. Yeah. You have to always go out drinking late until the evenings and drink with your bosses and stuff like that. So you can't actually really enjoy yourself until your retirement age to some extent.
Right.
So swings and roundabouts, really. Job security, but no free time as a result.
Yeah, a lot of obligation.
What do you make of that?
A lot of obligation, exactly. I imagine. Yeah, it's not a job anyone really gets into, especially because nowadays, presumably, even with these Seishin regular company employees, companies can go out of business all of the time. Like, especially in a rapidly fluctuating financial situation that Japan has. I mean, companies go out of business all the time. So I imagine that is becoming less and less. They have sort of immunize themselves from this by having that overemployment sort of situation. But yeah, I can't imagine in 20 years' time there'll be many of these people still around who think that they're going to be employed for the next 40 years. It seems crazy.
It is crazy. There's no like sense of what do you call it, social mobility. Mm. But back in the 90s, when the economic bubble burst in Japan around 1992, unemployment rates skyrocketed for the first time in like 30 years, and lots of people lost that kind of job security, and their whole life went down the pan. Yeah. And actually, the suicide rate went really kind of high, like went through the roof in the late 90s, early 2000s. So, yeah, I can understand it must be a terrible thing, but it's a strong reminder. Different priorities, different times of life. I wonder what the kind of the hardest thing in life would be as a guy in their 20s or 30s in the UK or in the US. You know, what would our hardest thing be? I can't even think of mine.
Vending machines. I imagine we're...
Vending machines.
I don't think...
And not being able to say cold brew coffee out loud.
Cold brew
properly,
coffee, yes.
In Japanese.
Of course. I thought... I think I was asking... Did I ask you? I thought cold brew coffee was... you could have it hot, but you can't. I probably spoke about this last week, but I'm still reeling from the fact I thought cold brew coffee, you could still have it hot, but it was just brewed cold. It's just confusing. Why can't we have hot cold brew coffee?
First world problems, Pete.
Massively.
Why can't we have hot cold brew
baby.
Coffee? Wouldn't that just be coffee that's made at a really slow rate, basically?
Yeah, exactly.
Obscenely slowly.
I presume that was the situation. Well,
there's nothing stopping you from getting some cold brew coffee and sticking it in the microwave for 30 seconds. Job done.
I've seen the inside of my microwave. It's horrible. Disgusting.
Disgraceful.
Oy, oy, oy.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
We now turn our attention to the grand fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson?
It's time for the fax machine. My name is David from Toronto, Canada. Just visited. Lovely old job. I was listening to your podcast about the top hidden places in Tokyo, and I wanted to ask a fun question. What are some of the best hiding spots in Tokyo? No rural areas.
Best hiding spots in Tokyo.
Yeah, where would you hide if you were running from either A, the police, B, a crazy ex-girlfriend, or three, an ultimate game of hide and seek? Just hiding from all of the people. Thank you for the podcast, David. What an interesting setup. I mean, I'm trying.
I wonder what David's current situation is to conjure up this question.
He's on the run.
What's going on in your life, David?
Yeah.
To bring this
up. He's a new John McAfee.
I don't know, actually. Where is he now? South America.
I don't know. He's all over the place. He's quite mad, isn't he?
He's all over the place. Good old John McAfee. The first one. Where would you hide if you were running from the police? Somewhere you can live properly and not get caught by any snitches. Mm. Any ideas?
The sewer, like the Ninja Turtles. I'd be down, get past one of those little beautiful, ornate, unique, painted manhole covers. Get down there and hang out with the Ninja Turtles for a few days.
That's exactly what would happen if you went into the Tokyo sewer system. Actually, Tokyo has the biggest sewer system in the world. Have you seen photos of it?
Oh, no.
How big the storm drains are.
Oh, cool. I might
it's
have a look at
insane.
That.
It's insane. Go and Google it. Tokyo storm drain. Your Google history will never be the same after that search. But it's insane. It's like the size of a football stadium. Like, imagine someone took Wembley Football Stadium, put it underground, and that's how big it is. It's absolutely huge. And they do tours of it because it's so damn impressive. Yeah. And it's often not used that. It's not used that often, to be honest. But, yeah, I'd go down there because it's a huge space.
Film a video in the sewer. It'd be really exciting.
Absolutely.
Get down there.
Don't know. Is it a good place to hide, though? I suppose, given all the tours,
yeah,
I think you might get spotted pretty... Yeah, it might not be so good. Video... But I'm going to put that down as my answer.
Yeah, in the Yakuza anyway. Video game, Goro Majima spends a lot of the time coming out of sewage sewers. So I'm very much of his ilk, and I think I'd enjoy my time in the sewer.
Sorted. Yeah. Well, where would you hide if you were running from a crazy ex-girlfriend who knows you well personally?
Ooh, bookshop.
Different location in Tokyo. A bookshop.
I'm not well read, Chris.
Why a bookshop?
I don't know, just a bookshop or...
Well, no, my bookshelf consists mainly of Vladimir Putin calendars.
Well,
so
look,
I don't really...
Got to keep them somewhere. Where would you hide if a...
And some of the bookshops, you know, Japan, because Japan is still very much a print-based society. They don't like do digital here. Yeah. There's a reason like CDs and books still sell so spectacularly well here. The bookshops here are like incredible, bigger than like the National Library in London. They're bloody huge and easy to get lost in. So yeah, all right, that'll do. Yeah. Crazy ex-girlfriend hide in a massive bookshop in Tokyo. And the third one, which is simply, where would you hide if you were running from an ultimate game of hide and seek? Hiding from all people. All people.
Just get a capsule hotel, a little capsule, climb inside and then just put like cardboard up with, in Japanese, out of order. So, and just hide in your little capsule.
Out of order.
Yeah.
Under what circumstances would a capsule hotel, a capsule in a capsule hotel, not be in order?
Well, maybe someone pooed their pants. Left their pants running. Did a dirty protest.
Brilliant.
That would very much incapacitate many a capsule if somebody did a dirty protest in there. So
there you go, David. There's
there you
three
go.
Quite disturbing answers to your hide-and-seek question. Next one we've got is from Adam. Now, last week, I think it was last week, we talked about staying in Hakone. We had a question about staying in the onsen resort town of Hakone, which is just about, 20, 30 miles outside of Mount Fuji, kind of in between Tokyo and Nagoya. It's a very popular destination. And this week, we've got a message from someone who went to Hakone. Adam, he says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I went to Owakaduni..." I can't pronounce that. That was awful. I went to Owakaduni. I
love it.
Owakudani.
Owakudani.
God damn it. Owakudani volcano in Hakone. If you go into the shops up there, they sell all kinds of charcoal products.
Ooh.
Yeah, charcoal. You can get black ice cream on hot days, which admittedly is just vanilla ice cream. But you can also get black eggs, which are said to give you seven years of extra life. Black eggs, 7 years of extra life. Whether that's a one-off thing or they have found the recipe for immortality, only time will tell, as I had five. Much love, Adam.
Adam, that's fantastic. Black eggs, disgusting.
Have you ever had an onsen tamago, like onsen hot spring egg?
No, what's that? What, did you just boil the eggs in the hot spring?
Yeah, that's right. They basically just get an egg and stick it in a hot spring for like a few minutes. And often the hot springs are... you know, well over 100 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
They're bubbling like crazy. So you put it in for like 20, 30 seconds, it comes out boiled. And they say that it gives it some kind of health benefits because it's enriched with the minerals of the hot spring, which I think is bollocks because I don't see how the minerals of the hot spring could permeate the eggshell or the egg in general.
Yeah, I mean, the eggshells are very much for that reason. That's why they've got a membrane for that exact reason.
So call me Mr. Cynical, but I'm not so sure a hot spring egg would have immortality health benefits. But I'm willing to give it a shot the next time I roll around in Hakone, which is somewhere we should go because you've not been there properly. And I've only been there once when it was raining.
Yeah.
So let's do it.
Egg out.
Let's get some black eggs. Job
I'll
done.
Just bring my own and put them in my pants. They'll never know I'm cooking them.
Brilliant. Absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
Keep the stories, comments, questions coming in to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week, guys, to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week and we'll be with you next Wednesday. Have a good one.
Get yourself a charcoal coolish.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.